Hey church, welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lokelani, your host, and the title of today's sermon is Unanxious. Anxiety is a product of what we seek. When we seek God's kingdom, we will have peace. So why do we keep falling back into anxiety? Well, our culture is constantly convincing us that we need to seek our own kingdom. But we can't always blame the culture. There's something in us that doesn't trust God. So today, Alex will preach about how not to be anxious. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34, continuing the part two of last week's episode, Unworried. I'll go ahead and just get right into it and read. If you have your Bibles, follow along. If not, just listen. So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Amen. During the pandemic, that was the most anxious I think I've ever been. I was anxious because though I was making Christian content, I was seeking my own kingdom through making Christian content. I was using the Prince of Peace to become popular. Not all the time, but some of the time. Sometimes my heart was in the right place. Mm-hmm. But I was just focused on, I got to provide for my family. I don't want to go back to work. I want to keep working from home. I want to, you know, reach people all over the world. And so my heart got befuddled with the wrong things at times. And so when I realized that, okay, I'm going to delete my Instagram account, my TikTok, when I'm going to walk away from social media and I'm going to really slow down. It was extremely hard. It's still hard to this day, but I have so much more peace now. I'm so much more unanxious than I was back then because my seeking has changed. And that was with the help of Lokelani, the Holy Spirit's work in her life, using her to help me walk away from those things, to encourage me to walk away from those things. And so I want to dig deep into what it means to really seek first the kingdom of God, because we've heard that a million times. You see people post it on their story, but what does it actually mean? And, you know, I think as we look at like each other's Instagram pages, you can tell someone what they are seeking by looking at their page. Like you look at our page, you see a lot of family photos. And that's because we are trying to seek first the kingdom by discipling our own kids. You'll see a lot of the house church. Shout out to the house church people, because that's what we want to seek. That's what we want to be the first thing in our mind. First priority, the kingdom of God. And so how do we get there? There's some practical steps that I believe are really going to help you in this episode. So let's get into it. Verse 31 through 32 is going to tell us why we don't need to be anxious. Jesus is saying to the disciples, Sermon on the Mount, they're sitting down in the grass, in the dirt, talking to each other. And he's saying, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. Why? That is what the Gentiles chase after. That's what the Gentiles seek. What is a Gentile? A Gentile was a non-believer, a heathen, a pagan, someone who just didn't believe in God or didn't have the same God as these Israelite men that Jesus is talking to. The one true God was their God. So he was saying, don't chase after those things because that's what the Gentiles do. Jesus is inviting them to live so countercultural. He's saying, I don't want you to live like those who don't believe in God. You don't need to be anxious because your God is your Father. He's saying, don't be anxious because you are God's kid. That's why we don't need to be anxious. The real translation here is be not anxious. Because of who your Father is. So when we look at food, clothing, drinking, ask yourself, do you chase after those things? The first response in my heart was like, of course, Alex, like, I don't know. Alex, you don't chase after those things. But I've been so influenced by like these coffee influencers and they're like manual grinders and they're like sitting on the mountain or a beach somewhere and they're grinding coffee and it looks so good. It's got all the crema, the espresso and stuff. And I'm like, that looks like so much fun. And so I find myself like trying to buy the cheapest version of whatever product they're using on Amazon. And I realize, oh, wow, I'm being influenced by someone who is chasing after food, chasing after drink? What about the fashion influencers? Constantly posting their body, constantly posting their drip, their OOTD on their story, outfit of the day. What are they chasing after? The question, what will I wear? In the movie, The Grinch with Jim Carrey, he gets invited to the jubilation and he says, okay, I'll go, but what will I wear? And he's saying it sarcastically to say, I'm not like the Who's who chase after their stuff, who chase after, what are they going to wear? What are they going to drink? What are they going to eat? The Grinch was living differently. And though the Grinch looks like the villain, what the Grinch brought to the Who's was this ability to say, since we're Who's, we don't have to chase after those things because we're different. And that's what a Christian is. Jesus is saying, don't chase after the food TikToks, the coffee influencers, the fashion influencers. Don't do what they're doing. Those people don't know God. They're Gentiles. Don't you see? Your life is much bigger and much grander than a simple food, drink, and clothes and stuff like that. So why are we anxious then? He tells us in verse 33, but seek first. He's saying, don't be like the guys that don't believe. You don't have to be anxious because who your father is, but seek first. After the but tells us why we are anxious. We're not seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. They go together. You can't separate God's kingdom from his righteousness. If you're seeking God's kingdom, you'll also be seeking his righteousness, because to seek his righteousness is to seek his moral, upright standing in the presence of God. It's you are able to stand in the presence of God in your heart and know that you are right with God. It means obeying Christ, knowing what Christ has done for you to make you right with God. And then if you love him, obeying him. That's seeking righteousness. We'll break down this more practically, what it means to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness a little bit later in the next point. But Jesus gives us another example in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, a snapshot glimpse of a person who is seeking first their kingdom and not God's kingdom, and a person who is actually seeking God's kingdom first. Jesus says, if you do what this lady does in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, you will be a person that has everything that you need provided for you. And you'll be an unanxious person. I want you to see how unanxious Mary is in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42.
As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.
Amen. Jesus told her, you're worried, Martha, about this dinner party. You had me over. We got all the boys here. We're having a good time. We're eating. And you're worried about what we're going to eat. You're worried about being hospitable. You're worried about how do we as men see you as the caretaker of this home. You're worried about your perception. You're worried about food, drink, how you look, clothing. You're worried about all that. And Jesus says, there's only one thing that's worth being concerned about. And you're looking at him. The guy who made the clouds, the trees, who put the dirt in the soil. He's the guy that made everything. He is God. And so he's saying, your sister is worried about that thing. Well, you're worried about all things that don't matter. And aren't we just like that? What Martha was really doing is she was seeking first her kingdom. Everyone who's not seeking the kingdom of God is seeking the kingdom of I. Martha was saying, in my kingdom, I want to be seen as this kind of woman. A Proverbs 31 woman, maybe. That's my kingdom. And so Mary's messing that up. Mary's not getting on board with that, because Mary was doing what? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. What it means to seek God's kingdom is to sit at Jesus's feet. Why? He is the king. It is his kingdom. God gave the kingdom to Jesus. It was promised in the Old Testament to King David, I am going to give your kingdom to one of your descendants. Solomon? No, Jesus. And his kingdom shall never end. We know it wasn't Solomon, though he was a great king, because his kingdom, in a way, ended. He ended very badly at the end of his life. Jesus' kingdom shall never end. Mary found the one thing that's worth being concerned with, and that is God's kingdom. So she sat at Jesus' feet. So let's learn how to not be anxious. Let's learn what Mary understood. Because what Mary understood was, Christ wants me to stay in the moment and sit at his feet. Verse 34 says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is such a crazy translation of the Bible, because it paints the picture of us reaching out into tomorrow and bringing the troubles into today. Isn't that what we do? I told an example, I think, in the last episode, or I told it at house church, of just looking at my neighbor's house. They have a Tesla power bank thing, like energy source. And I was like, man, I don't have that. I don't have a home. And I was supposed to be taking out the trash. And I'm comparing myself in the house that we rent to the house that my neighbors own. And I felt a small, gentle voice say, everything's okay today. All your bills are paid. Your kids are happy and healthy. You don't need to be worrying about the day when you might have a mortgage. That's years from now. And you're reaching into those years and pulling those troubles into today. What Jesus did on the cross was he reached into our tomorrow and pulled all the troubles that were rightfully ours and pulled them upon himself. You see, Jesus took all your future troubles and carried them on the cross so that you could cross those bridges confidently when you get there. I've had to tell this to my kids sometimes. Dad, what are we going to do after dinner? What are we going to do tomorrow? And sometimes I have to tell them, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And they don't really even know what that means. But I've heard others say it. And it's a great analogy. Thinking about the water rushing under the bridge, thinking about what it's going to be like when you cross the bridge, when you're miles away from the bridge, is a little insane. And it's a little anxious. When we can walk one step with God at a time peacefully, what Jesus did was he reached into your tomorrow. God is not constricted by time. And on the cross, time broke. Jesus stepped into time, and then he experienced an eternity amount of hell within those hours on the cross to break the chains of darkness in you, surrounding you, to break the power of the enemy, the power of the grave, the power of death. When he was doing that, he was reaching into your tomorrow and saying, I'm going to take it upon myself. And it was this word trouble in Matthew 6:34 is the word badness. It translates into badness. It was so much badness that Jesus reached into tomorrow, your tomorrow, and grabbed and pulled upon himself. It was so much badness, it killed him. The wrath of God fell on him and crushed him so much as if he was the one that was the most wicked sinner. But he was innocent. He did that so you wouldn't have to cross bridges that you are far away from. He did that so you could live in the moment, to walk presently with your God. Jesus rose even after that. Why? He was innocent. He rose because he always seeked God's righteousness. And in him, we will rise. We need not be anxious because he rose. The resurrection means we have nothing to be anxious about. The only thing that matters is that the resurrection is true. The only thing that Mary was concerned with was the Lord. And since he is risen, since he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, since for 40 days they met and ate and drank with him, they talked with him, since we have eyewitnesses seeing the risen Lord with the holes in his hands, the holes in his feet, since it is a historical event, everything is going to be okay. But But the more you allow the culture to convince you that you need to concentrate on meaningless things, the food, the clothes, the drinks, the more you let that into your head, the more whatever you seek, whatever you put first is going to fill your mind. And as long as those things are filling your mind, you'll never be unanxious. You see, the good news is that because of the cross, because of what Christ did, God makes your provision his priority when you make his kingdom your priority. A person who really understands what Christ did for us on the cross, that he reached into our tomorrow and pulled those troubles in upon himself so we don't have to reach into tomorrow, so that we can live one day at a time. Once you see that, you will make his kingdom your priority because you'll realize, oh wait, nothing else matters. My 401k doesn't matter. My Instagram feed doesn't matter. How people perceive me, whether I'm super cool or super smart, it doesn't matter. His kingdom matters. And you'll be able to make his kingdom your priority. And God says, when you do that, I have no problem making your provision my priority. Because you're my child. A person who really understands that is my child. And for a father, their number one priority as a father, as a leader of the home, is the provision of their children. To protect their children, to raise them up in the way that they should go. To give them the things that they need. Maybe not the things that they want, but the things that they need. And God is a good, good father. So he certainly wants to make your things that you need his priority. They are his priority. And you really are his child when his kingdom is your priority. So what does it look like to really seek him first and make him our priority? Well, seeking God is obeying. He has no problem providing for you when you know the provision is coming from him and not your hard work. The last thing God wants us to think is that we are providing for ourselves because of our hard work. It's in Christ that we live and breathe and have our being. So we would not be able to do anything without him providing the things that are essential for us. The last thing that he wants is for us to be self-sufficient, to think that, yeah, God, I kind of did this on my own though, or I helped you out when it came to my provision. God wants us to trust him and to not fall into that prideful trap and to say in our hearts, God, I know that you are ultimately in control of everything good in my life. And I'm pretty much responsible for everything bad in my life. And so without you, I have nothing. That's a person who's poor in spirit, and that's a person who's going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, because that's a humble person. That's a person who has made God's kingdom their priority. Philippians 4:6 tells us practically how to seek him first. You see, we know why we need to be anxious. We need not to be anxious. That's because of our Father. Why we're anxious is because we're not seeking him first. But to actually sit in the moment and stay there at his feet, it looks like what Paul says to the Philippian church in 4:6.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
That's how you do it. You, in a thankful heart, you approach him with your petitions. You approach him with your prayer. You say, God, I come to you at your feet by the power of the cross, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what was done on the cross, in the name of Jesus, in the character of Jesus, I come with to you in a thankful heart. Do you know that Jesus had a thankful heart towards the Father? That was a part of his character. To come to Jesus, come to the Lord, you become a part of God's family, you become God's child, and now we can approach God as a father, and to come to him in the name of Jesus means to come to him like Christ did when he fed the 5,000. What does the Bible say he did? He broke it and gave thanks. And he prayed. When we come to the Father to seek him first, we come to him and we come to him in a heart of thankfulness. Thankfulness in our heart. And then we say, okay, God, I'm so thankful for everything that I have. And these are the things that I feel that I need. These are the things I need your help on. instead of reaching into tomorrow and grabbing its trouble and bringing it in today, what if we just prayed for tomorrow? Today. Paul says, when you do that, something amazing happens. The peace of Christ that passes all understanding will rest in your heart. It means something is coming up that you're worried about. You sit at his feet. That's a heart posture. And you come to him and you say, God, I'm so thankful for everything, but this is what I need. This is what I need help with. This is what I'm anxious about. You confess those things to him and something amazing happens. You let it go. The peace of Christ dwells in you. And so practically, that's just what it seems like an oversimplification at times, but that's what I want you to practice this week. That's what I'm going to try to practice this week. Instead of being anxious about tomorrow, praying for tomorrow. And that power comes from remembering the fact that because the resurrection is real, we don't have to worry about anything. The resurrection means everything's going to be okay. But then secondly, Christ reached into your tomorrow and pulled those troubles upon himself so you could cross every bridge confidently when you get there. Father, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for the great privilege that we have to be able to live unanxious, Lord. Only Christians have that kind of invitation. And Lord, you have us here because you want us to go out into all the world and invite and say, come be a part of this life. Come experience the abundant life, the unanxious life of a child of God. Help us to live that way, Lord. We know that if we're living unanxious, we are living free, undistracted from being able to be used and experience the great joy of being used by you. So don't let the anxiousness distract us and tempt us, Lord, to not go after your kingdom and its righteousness and the joy that comes with that. In your name we pray, amen. What do you think a good question would be, Lokelani? I can think of one if you don't.
Yes, go ahead.
You want me to think of one? Okay. I guess, again, you know, it's kind of connected to last week, but what makes you anxious? You know, what are some things that make you anxious? Not last week was what do you worry about? This week, let's talk about like what makes you anxious. So this is what do you worry about is like, okay, here's an action of worry that I'm doing. That was kind of last week's answers. This week is like, okay, what is it in my life that's actually making me anxious? That when I am around this particular thing or I'm influenced by this particular thing, now that thing is creeping into my heart and bringing anxiousness inside.
This is such a great question. And I loved the piece you shared from Luke 10 with Mary and Martha. Years ago, first, I saw this book. I never read it, but just the title of the book is, I think, enough to kind of like punch you and like help you rethink how you're living. And it's called Being a Mary in a Martha World. And it just that title reminds me of how like attracted to busyness and caring about how we appear to others, just how that is just ever present these days. But where you can find true joy is at the feet of Jesus. And I love that so much. And when Alex and I were talking about Luke 10, the story of Mary and Martha, he had mentioned before the episode that like we are usually more anxious when we're thinking about ourselves and not thinking about others or thinking about the Lord. And I think that is so true. And I think that's what makes me most anxious is when I'm thinking about myself. Oh, the house is dirty and people are coming over. What are they going to think of me? Not, oh, are they going to feel uncomfortable? But what are they going to think of me? You know, and 9 times out of 10, they don't feel uncomfortable. That's a little messy. You know, they feel like they've entered our space, which we raise 5 children in. And I think it's exciting for them. But when I obsess over that, then I'm anxious. I don't want them to come. I'm nervous. And then when they're there, I can't truly serve them or love them well, or just listen well, because my mind is so consumed with how are they perceiving me? What do they think about me? Or do they feel comfortable? Like, do they think I'm less of a woman of God now because it's not spick and span, you know? And that is like, yeah, myself. It's when I'm thinking of myself, I am most anxious. And just now that we're back on Instagram too, spending a little time on there, Alex is the one who makes most of the posts, but I'll go on there also. And just like the pull of the culture online and how it's preaching to you, get more, do more, be more, look better, post this way. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how quickly that like creeps into our thought life or even our actions. And I love that, like at the end of this where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be provided for you. And I think we look at Instagram, even certain Christian influencers, and we see their online success and we think that that's blessing and favor from God. But earthly riches does not equate to righteousness. And if you look long enough and you see, is this righteous fruit in their lives? Like what they're posting, is this bringing glory to God? Them posting every single outfit link, is that helpful to people? Or is that going to maybe make people go into debt or be consumed with how they look or what they, you know? And so I think we just really have to be careful. And that makes me anxious. Like going on Instagram, seeing what other people have, that is another place that causes me. And it's because it causes me to think about myself, not like, oh, how am I serving people? How am I loving my children? How am I being a better wife? It makes me think of like, how do people perceive me? What do I have enough? And it's not good for anyone at that point. And it's most certainly not pointing people to Christ. And so, yeah, I just love this passage. And it's just Matthew 6, this end chunk has like just been a passage I've always gone back to just in ministry, where life in ministry can be hard and yeah, trying sometimes when it comes to finances and different things. So I've constantly come back, but I don't think I've ever heard what the Lord has, you know, revealed to Alex through him studying this and preaching it. And so this has just been given me more perspective and helped me think about this topic even more deeply. And so I hope the same is for you. We would love to hear what makes you anxious. And we want you to be set free from that and to know that his kingdom is what matters. And you will only find true joy sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's what we're all looking, longing for. And that's why we worry and why we go to clothing, food, X, Y, and Z, because we're longing for something that can only be found in Christ.
Amen. Well said. Thank you for sharing that about the things that make you anxious and just the thought process behind the anxiety when you feel like your name is on the line. And I really appreciate that vulnerability. It helps me see like the times when I'm getting snappy with the kids or the time where I'm like annoyed by traffic or the person at the grocery store in front of me or whatever. What is going on there? And so thanks for pulling that out, because I don't think I even thought about that in depth. So I love you and we love you guys. Can't wait to see what you're going to say. Amenpodcast.com to donate, keep this ministry going ad free. The preaching ministry cannot happen on land at our house church without you guys donating. We don't receive any tithes from that. We just kind of do it because you guys allow us to do it. And so the same message you just heard is going to be preached tonight on this Sunday afternoon. So we love you. Until next time.
Go out and be the church.
Sorry for the long pause. I don't know what I was going to say. Okay, love you.
Amen.